completely let the land support you.
Right. You didn't start yet.
Am I? Okay. Yeah. Hi. We're back again with the Forest School podcast, and I'm Gemma.
And I'm Lou.
And today we have a special guest.
Hey.
And I'm Larissa.
Larissa has come to join us, and we're going to be talking about music today and its role in Forest School. So I guess we can start off talking about,
Should we just say what we do
in
general thing, and then we can talk about
how we use music in our sessions. So we have music every session, usually at the end.
Let's say we do every toddler session, but
sometimes sometimes with
the
older
children,
ones.
It's sometimes less.
Yeah.
It's less structured, isn't it? They're easier to get into a game. They can last for longer, so we do every toddler session.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say we do every session.
Although I try to. So if we've got older children here all day, then I often, just in the afternoon, there's often a kind of
the lull.
There's a bit of a lull.
The post-lunch,
that kind of, exactly.
Yeah. Letting everything digest. It's a nice time to play, take something away and play, isn't it?
Yeah, and I wouldn't do a kind of structured, everyone sit down and have a sing-along. I would take the ukulele
you just arrive
to
with
them
instruments.
And just play.
Start doing something.
And some of them do gather around,
Yeah,
but the toddler sessions is sort of, we use ukuleles,
they're more structures
and drums, don't we?
Yeah, they're the songs that you kind of join in with, you know, the like animal noise ones or the, like we did.
And
the little birds.
Do you use music every time, do you think?
No, definitely not every time. Working with primary school age children primarily rather than the toddlers, so sometimes it's because the children have wanted to do it, because they picked up some sticks and started tapping them, and then something's come from that, and they're like, oh, we want to make something more, and then the next week we'll set up with whatever we can do. I will normally, if I don't do a poem or a story, it's a song or music. So I guess I probably nearly always do a bit of music, but it's not necessarily with the children.
And I wonder why that is. Why, I mean, because there's nothing that says that Forest School has to have or should have music. I haven't read much about it, actually.
For me, when I'm in the woods, I make music.
Yeah.
So that's what I do when I'm here. So it's like you sit down, you have a cup of tea, you play.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just because it's normal for me, I bring it in.
Yeah. I do a lot of they're not specific journeying songs, but our site, if the kids are taking you to if they come up here and they're like, oh, can you bring the saw down to the treehouse? And they'll walk with me, and kids walk slow. I quite often will either hum something or be singing something to myself because it fills
the time.
More so than, because I think especially for some children, if they're walking next to an adult, there's a weird pressure to fill a conversation. But if one of you is just, if you're just singing
or whistling,
and it lets everybody know where I am, which has an added bonus of it's a gentler way, isn't it? Like you were saying earlier, than having a whistle or having a come on, we're here, we're doing whatever.
If you can just vaguely hear
or a call, or if you can vaguely hear, if I can hear Gemma down at the bottom with the ukulele, I know she's down there. I don't have to check and do a howl and go, Gemma, are you down there?
Which is really disruptive and disturbing, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's just kind of, fills that void of a space.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I don't know. Do you think it has a role with the older children?
I think it does. I think there's something about the it fits into that kind of, I guess, category of, or that bit of time in the session which is quite reflective and is quite communal, and it's about togetherness, isn't it? So they might, a group of any age might be off doing lots of different things during that session, and whether it is, and like you're saying, I either do a story or a poem or a song. I'd say we probably do the similar kind of thing, like with the home ed group, that would usually be a story or a song, and sometimes we'll give them that choice and say, which would you like to do? And I guess it is about, it's a very, even if they're just listening, even if it's just you making the music, that is a shared communal moment where we've all been off, and actually that is our time to then go, we're together again now. This is a moment that we share.
But not necessarily very close physically together, because sometimes they can come back and we can be singing here and there'll be kids on the net. You know, they can be
But they're still, if they can hear it, they're
then they're part of that.
You're in
that sound bubble, aren't you?
Yeah.
And that's quite nice, because it's less, I think, maybe compared to a story, if someone was telling a story and you could sort of hear it, you'd be straining and you'd kind of miss it and you wouldn't quite get the same experience. But you could be far enough away to catch little refrains of music.
And it can just float over you.
Yeah.
And if you're interested, it draws you in. And if you want to carry on playing, you can carry on. Yeah,
it's very interesting doing it with school age groups, where it's obviously very different for them than for some schools. Some schools might make music all the time, I guess, in different ways, but some of the schools that we've worked with, I think the singing they're used to is assembly singing,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
That's mm-hmm. a very good point.
And you stand up and you sing.
Yeah.
And it's almost not for pleasure, is it?
No, exactly.
It's not
singing
for pleasure or making music for pleasure. It's with a performance, or it's, you know, the head teacher is
expecting something.
Yeah.
So often with groups I've worked with, you start, you know, go, oh, I want to do some singing now, and some of them would just look, and even children that come here that have been at school, they just look like, oh, I just don't sing, like, this is the time where I just close my mouth.
I'm not confident enough to sing.
And actually, it's a different type of music making in the forest, isn't it? It's very, you know, you put in whatever you want to put in, nobody has to do anything. And
it could just be body percussion and mucking around.
And sometimes we've said before, haven't we, about how modelling is one of the most important things in a forest school session. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we have a bit of an advantage, with there being two of us, in that one of us can almost be this, like you were saying, like the straight man, and I am going to sing and I'm going to do this, and the other one can sing it a little bit out of tune, or make bird noises, or
you can show that it's okay. Doesn't have to be this set,
whereas in I'm comparing it now to a hymn, which is we all sing this, and if you come in a beat too early, everybody looks at you, or doesn't,
or you try and harmonize with it.
It's very and I think the choice of instrument makes a big difference.
It sounds like we're talking about freedom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Instead of prescriptive, this is how it's done, and you've got to do it the right way, it's like organic and fun, and you can embellish it and go where you want.
Yep.
And having songs that you can, like you're saying, with that freedom of saying songs that you can play on a ukulele, or you can just do with a drum, or you can just bang a stick against a tree, and you know, not needing, oh, this has to have a melody part and a bass part and a rhythm. It's kind of like, you can just make this up, can't you? Like, oh, drop a pine cone. Yeah, that'll work, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can do it wherever.
New instrument, drop a pine cone.
Dropping a pine cone. Gemma,
drop it onto what?
Gemma set up her own little pots and pans thing when we had the snow and it was all melting off the roof of the cabin. And so it was all this one line. And so she put different pans at different heights.
It was like in a snow melt orchestra.
Yeah, and it was just plink, plonk, plink, plonk, plink, plink, plonk. And it was just, it was a bit hypnotic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You couldn't hear it from any distance, but when you got close, it suddenly was a bit, it was like being in a room of 1,000 clocks, you know, just all ticking and just, it was nice.
I think my favourite song that we do with toddlers is a song, I must remember her name, it's called Show
Ella
Me.
Jenkins.
Ella Jenkins. Yes. And the children take part in the action. So you say, show me your, and you say, what should we do, clapping or marching? Or, and we've done that song so many times now that the actions that they choose are like, let's just do this. And so it ends up with running, and
That was incredible.
And the group at the beginning would be just like, oh, very politely sitting and clapping, and the parents go, come on, let's all clap,
because that's what the parents think.
Now it is show me your running, and they are
gone,
absolutely running, just in every direction, and some of the parents are starting to do it and they're just running around like absolute, and they just like own it, you know, we just happen
excitement,
to be playing
enjoyment.
It, and they're just
and then those things are about finding. So, you know, like we were always saying, forest school is about meeting the kids where they are and then taking them a little bit further.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so we do, in that song, you do running, but we also occasionally do dancing, which is such a massive self-esteem leap to get up and dance in front of a group of other, even just the adults, the adults, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas running, you feel confident, you're like, I know how to run, I can run, that's
it's
not
physically
gonna be an issue.
Similar, but nobody's gonna kind of like judge you for running,
whereas suddenly dancing is like, whoa, I can't do it. And you know,
we take so much cultural baggage that stops us from just naturally doing this stuff, don't we?
And the ones that have the most fun are the parents who make eye contact with their own kid and they're like, none of you exist, I'm dancing with my kid right now. And that's, you know, that's the freedom bit, isn't it? Should we have a look at some instruments? Should we talk about what instruments we use?
Yeah. Larissa's got lots of magical instruments.
I have.
Which we haven't even opened yet.
Which we haven't opened.
Should we go one for one? So if you tell one and then we'll talk about something that we use here.
Yeah. So, I have, this is my first one. So this is a Native American style flute. So it's double chambered here and then here. So this is very important. It's not just for decoration.
There's a sort of like handle thing above the mouthpiece is what Larissa's pointing at right now.
Yeah.
It looks like a little bird sat on.
It is
on
a bird.
The pipe. It is a bird.
What's it made of?
This is silver birch, but it's spalted, so rotting for those who know this. And this is from Dartmoor. So if I play this, and we've been making elder whistles or something like that,
and
it's like, I want to make one of those. All of a sudden, you have whistles that they're drilling holes into and things as well.
Go on then, give us a
little.
It's so like fluid.
Yeah.
That you don't get with a lot of instruments. Almost wind instruments, I think, sound very binary, don't they? You've pressed your finger down, or you haven't. Yeah.
That's the difference with this, because you're blowing into here, but then the air revolves around in the top chamber, and
to come out one chamber and into the other.
Yeah, comes out that one, and it's only a millimetre deep, this little channel here, and then it's cut and the fipple's here. So the breathiness comes from this in here,
top
and then it goes back down. But that's what makes it sound very different from any other one.
And I guess that's one thing to think about, isn't it, when you're thinking about instruments to choose to take to forest school.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, does that instrument speak in some way to you? Because it's got it's a bit like storytelling, isn't it? Like, it's got to be your story, your instrument, to an extent.
Yeah.
But also there's that element of anything that you play with your mouth, you've taken one of your communication tools away. Potentially, if you're playing with your mouth and using your hands, you have then only eye contact and body language to communicate.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely
compared to, say, something like,
I would say, instead of taking it away, I've just changed my voice. So this is my musical voice.
Whoa.
It's a very different step. And I, personally, I feel more myself when I'm playing. So it's a really big thing for me.
Yeah.
It was a really big thing for me to first start playing in public, because I'd played so long by myself that it was my thing. Yeah. And then to do it to other people was a big deal. But then I found other people like it, and I'm like, I can share it. And make other people love it too.
Should we talk about one of ours?
Yeah.
We mostly heavily ukulele here, aren't we?
Yep.
But I think that's more for portability.
Well, partly also because I used to play trumpet and cornet, but no more, and that's probably a little bit loud in the woods. Our neighbours are already like annoyed that we're here. So yeah, that's my instrument that I played before I
And a ukulele's got a very, I think it's got like a sweet tone to it, doesn't it?
And it's
sounds very child friendly.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit jovial.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think if we came in with a bassoon, it would be a harder sell.
Yeah.
Something low and thick, and do you know what I mean? There's that timbre to consider, isn't there?
Yeah. And it doesn't matter as well that they want to have a go.
Yeah.
And it is easy for them to make a sound on a ukulele. They're not to play chords, but like at the end today, they gather around, the last song is played, and they always want to just have a little.
I had to fight like four of them off today. Tell me that you saw.
That's why they're thing off your legs as you walked away.
But that's the thing, isn't it? With the drum, they are so yes, I want to do it.
How natural is that?
It is. Yeah.
How natural is that?
And that's
you hear it and you want to do it.
And I sometimes struggle with that thing of do I just go, they're so interested, let's let them keep going, at the expense of
the song,
I can't do anything,
the rest of the group, expecting and wanting to join in with the music, and then
and especially doing the rhythm, because some of the songs that we do without a rhythm are quite difficult for some of the parents to follow. So if I'm not playing a strong beat, there can be a bit of a like, where is this, what's going on? But then we've tried before, haven't we, me having a drum and giving the kids drums, and they've got no volume control, so I'm trying to play nicely, I'm playing nicely with Gemma,
and they're just going, whatever we're doing,
it's not a rhythm,
is that they just need more playtime and experience with the drums,
and we have done that before, we work together,
so we have done that before where
we've just played with drums, it's been like drum playtime rather than But then it's just time, isn't it? It's like all these things that that the kids want to do, and then, you know. But
That, I think some adults, when we got all the drums up, so we got like 15 drums.
I've seen another guy. Yeah. I'm excited,
But it would be, like you were saying, that freedom element of it, it would take under 2 minutes for some of the parents to be going, shh, no, no, listen, listen, because Lucy can show us what to do. And I kind of had never, I wouldn't have said, I'm going to show you what to do. But it's that expectation of like, we are now having a drum lesson.
Something official.
Or he will show, you know, there's going to be some technique in it's a drum. Aside from like, don't cover the bit where the sound comes out, I don't really feel like I need to tell. I, you know, I could tell, I used to teach djembe, so like I could go further, but.
It's curious, isn't it? Because if you give a child a stick, the parent's not going to say, oh, we're waiting to find out what we're supposed to do with the stick.
Some of them would.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
But yeah,
there's a reverence around instruments, which is quite natural, I think, especially if you, if it's not yours and you don't know how to use it, and you think, oh, oh, I don't know if I might break it, or and some people are very reverent, aren't they? Like some people weren't you saying about the drum teacher who were like, for the first few weeks, we're not going to touch the drum, we're just going to look at the drum, and I will talk to you about the drum, and so we all, I think we've all heard tell of somebody like that, so that reverence is quite natural, I guess, culturally.
And I guess maybe it's that unknown financial value of it, know, aside from any sentimental value, you see a hand-carved djembe and you go, that's probably quite expensive, and then almost that's a weird idea, isn't it, that expensive things shouldn't be for children, there's almost that balance of either it's expensive and children don't play with it, or it's cheap and children are allowed to play with it and break it, and sometimes there are examples where it's like, well, okay, yeah, they are reasonably expensive drums, but that's what they're for.
But they're there to be used.
Yeah, they're not for ignoring.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Can we have another?
Well, I have a drum as well, not djembe. So it's a frame drum.
Okay. So it's like a, so it's almost like a tambourine, but without the. But it's tambourine shaped, isn't it?
Yes.
But
without tambourine shaped. Yeah.
Is it made entirely of hide? The back bit. So there's a wooden frame, and then there's a kind of circle in the middle.
In this circle here, there is a metal ring to be able to
tension it on.
So this is Dartmoor Red Deer Skin.
And did you make this?
I made this, with help. With a lot of help. It's actually here. Can you hear that there?
Yeah,
it is. It's picked up my voice. Wants to be played. And there's a bit of Dartmoor Pony skin there as well. So... yeah.
Go on then, let's, can we hear
this
it?
This is, well, you've got anything and everything.
It's very, I'm going to say reverberant.
Yes,
make up that word.
Reverberant.
The slightest vibration it seems to be picking up and kind of amplifying.
Yeah, it's in exactly its right environment, because making a drum like this, obviously you start with a completely wet soaked skin, so you dry it where you want to be playing it, so slowly
so
over days where if you're going to play it in a hot climate or dry climate or damp slightly chilly woodland, you've got, and you can get,
that's such a big sound from such a small, I mean it's not small, but it's shallow, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's almost really shallow. And it's very hardy. So as long as the kids aren't hitting it with the end of a stick, I mean, it has taken quite a bit of a battering, but they can really, really go for it. And yesterday I had a couple of kids who were a couple of girls who maybe a year ago, five-ish, they'd been really shy about picking anything up, and I was doing something else with another group yesterday afternoon and I could hear the drum and I looked up and one's whacking away to her heart's content and the other's dancing like this, and I was just like, it's like soul food. It's just like, yes,
wow.
Yeah, so no structure to it, it's there, you've been introduced to it, you know what you're allowed to do with it, and they went for it.
But isn't it funny how some children have that reticence, because I did something in a school with, we did apple.
Oh, what is it?
You know, tree, apple trees. What's the word? Where you
apple bobbing.
Okay. No, so, feeding the apple trees cider.
Oh, wassailing.
Had a wassail.
Yeah.
And didn't have any special drums, but had loads of pots and pans and sticks and buckets.
Yeah.
And I showed them some wassail songs lyrics and said, you know, I don't know the tune to these. Here we go, and look, I just left them around. So we talked about what a wassail was at the beginning, and I said, so at the end, we'll make some apple. We made some like warm apple tea, basically, and some toast. And so at the end, just before we go in for the last few minutes, we'll do the wassail. If you want to practice and do something and create something, cool. If you don't want to, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And
freedom.
Yeah, yeah. And some of the children were like, right, come on. Get all the pots and pans, and some were like, yeah, were frightened of just banging a saucepan. They just were sort of a bit shy and a bit like,
yeah,
yeah. It was really interesting that some of them, and I guess it's noise, isn't it? It's look at me, I'm making this loud noise. It's always a performance, even if you're just
you're
doing
very
it by yourself.
Present. If you're making a big noise, you're very present. You're definitely in the space and taking the space. And some kids,
just don't want to be there.
Yeah. But then some very introverted kids, given time and the opportunity, will
experiment with it.
And how fantastic is that to then see them?
What's this thing here with all these bits?
I've been trying to develop a repertoire of instruments. So you've got something you can blow, you've got something you can hit. We've been making guitars this week, which has been interesting. But so this is something that you can
shaker
rattle. Yeah, so shaker with added embellishments.
Wow. So, so what's this made of, the top bit?
That's the pony skin.
Wow.
Yeah.
And kind of little bits of twigs,
drills. In fact, these
three... Ooh, they're quite a good little...
Yeah, they're absolutely great. These were given to me by a child last summer.
Wow.
As a necklace, and I love them, so they became the base of my rattle.
Wow. Shaker.
Ah.
Look at that.
Sorry, I was looking for, because I was trying to think, the other instrument that we sometimes use is my cascas.
Oh yeah.
I can't find them in there, so what I'll do
what is
I've I've got a pair at home, so I'll layer it in on the sound. It's two hardened seed pods connected by like a small piece of, it looks like fabric, but it's
the
t-shirt, and it flicks around, and you knock it around your two hands, and actually
my son's got one.
and it just makes the kind of and it's quite, for a one-handed instrument,
it's got a lot of
feeling with it, and a bit like I was saying earlier with the communication thing and like not cutting things off. Because it's one hand and it's small, it's not only giving you a shaker and a beat, but you've got another hand free to
still
do other things and kind
and
of
you've still got your,
and you've still got your voice and you've still got everything else. And I quite like it as a, and it's very portable. Like normally it's in my pocket somewhere, and I sound like I'm walking around with a bag of rice.
Yeah,
but like it's a I really like it as a bit like we were saying earlier about walking around and making songs. I really like it as a signalling thing. So sometimes I'll just sit there and start clacking it together around the circle, and
it's like an
it will come and it will bring people, but it's not as intrusive as, it's almost a spectrum, isn't it? So playing two ukuleles is one end of, not one end, but it's higher up on that spectrum of music is happening now, because you're harder to escape.
Something.
A little, you know, tappity tap is kind of like, ooh, just piques your interest, just, you know, ears perk up and like, oh, maybe we can go and join in with that. And do whatever.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice thing.
But we haven't talked about like the most basic things, which is what the kids would be doing anyway, isn't it? Which is
non-man-made instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and very tuning good. In. And we, when we started here, we were just looking up, weren't we? Because it's a fantastic view up there. And that whole thing of you stop doing and you start listening, and then you really notice when someone walks up behind you, and it's the music that's here in the woods anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. I went on an amazing workshop with the Knee High Theatre Company about making theatre with young people. And so it was essentially storytelling and creating stories. And one of the most amazing things that we did was closed our eyes, and one person would make a sound, just like you have.
Yep.
What do you see when you hear? And so just one sound after another creates a story in your in your head. And it's really nice. Especially if your eyes are closed.
Were you then sharing the story or just keeping it?
We did share, you know, it was like, what was happening? And I can still remember the film I saw in my head while someone was ripping up newspaper behind me. I mean, how amazing is that your brain has that relationship with sound?
But cutting out the other sensory input, isn't it? And really just tuning in.
And sometimes that's like, we teach children the sort of bird songs with... you've almost got to put a narrative, you don't have to, but it helps to put a narrative on it or put words on it.
Of like you said about the blackbird earlier, didn't you?
Yeah,
which makes it much easier to pick out. And so that's a big element of kind of music in forest school, isn't it? Of listening to those bird songs and interpreting them. And it's always very interesting hearing other people who've made up their own words for the bird songs. So, you know, like, oh, you go... like a blue tit, you know, we go, oh, it goes me 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 me, like a kid going me 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 me.
But then
to someone else, that could be a completely different thing, and we've put that whole story around it of a kid, and they're excited, they've got their hand up and all that stuff, and so I quite like that part of it.
That's how loads of our birds were named, though, wasn't it? Because they had a characteristic that created a story, and the Robin Redbreast was actually... Robin was the name.
It's the Christian name, isn't it?
Like Jack Daw was the name of the bird.
Jenny Wren. Tomtit.
We're kind of left.
Well, let's leave it on Tomtit, shall we? That can be the end. Okay. Magic.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa.